Today's service begins with our bulletin insert. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I confess to Almighty God, before all the company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned exceedingly in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray, Almighty God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son, to have mercy on me, forgive me my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The introit. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully hear our prayer and stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to defend us from those who rise up against us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for Invocavit is from the third chapter of Genesis. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said,
"You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The epistle is from the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you.' Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. This is the word of the Lord. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and show him my salvation. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed, page 141 in the front part of the hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our sermon text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers, together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. God has instituted the pastoral office as the means by which he delivers his word of grace to his people. So St. Paul, in today's epistle, begins by saying of himself and of his pastoral assistants, he says, "We then, as workers together with him," that is with God, "also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." The minister and God work together. The minister preaches the word, and God creates and nourishes faith in the heart. When it comes to those who are not saved, the pastors urge men to repent of their sins and believe the good news. Listen to St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So the ministers plead or implore men to come to faith in Christ for salvation. The end result is that they might be reconciled or saved. When it comes to those who already have faith and are reconciled with God, then the ministers urge them to continue to pay attention to the word of grace and to follow its teachings. Today's text, St. Paul and other ministers, it says that they also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So ministers have a twofold work. They plead with the unsaved, and they plead with the saved. Now the examples of those who have received the grace of God in vain, the examples in the scriptures, well, they abound. There are many who have heard the word of God and then give it up. Before I speak of those examples, though, we need to understand what does it mean to receive the grace of God in vain. The Apostle James says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes it, observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." James 1. If you hear the word and do not follow its guidance, you are only giving the word superficial attentions. You're a hearer only. God doesn't have his word preached as a kind of elevator music which plays in the background, but, well, you can ignore it and go about doing your business. God's word is not preached only for others. The word is a true mirror, showing us who we really are. So, the law serves as a mirror, the mirror of the law. It shows us our sinfulness. But according to the mirror of the gospel, well, it shows us that we are dearly loved children of God, that we are forgiven, and that we are saints in his eyes. So hear the word and follow what it says. When the word of God convicts you of your sin, then confess your sin. When the word of God shows you your Savior, then believe in your Savior and his forgiveness. When the word of God tells you to live a holy life, then do what it says and love your neighbor. St. James says that we ought not to be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. We're to continue in that liberty or freedom which we have as Christians. We've been set free from sin. Don't go back to it. Live apart from it. During the Gethsemane season, we heard how in the sowing of the word, there were three soils which received God's grace, but for nothing. Though the sower was sowing the seed, and God was desiring to produce grain, it was in vain. Only those of the fourth, those who heard the word of God and kept it, were ultimately saved. If you sit in the pew, but don't listen to the content of the minister's message, you are receiving God's grace in vain. If you hear me say that you are to turn from your sin, but you hold on to your sin, you are receiving God's grace in vain. If you deliberately forget what you heard, do what your sinful desires want, you are receiving God's grace in vain. Our gracious Lord used a minister, his name was Dr. Martin Luther, to restore the gospel to the church. He preached and he wrote and he taught the word tirelessly. And there were many who heard the word, and from those who heard the word, they heard the good news of salvation. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ who won our salvation. And of those many who heard the word, there was a reformation throughout the church. Nevertheless, Luther warned that after his death, there would be dark times and the light of the gospel would be diminished. He was right. They would receive the grace of God in vain. His own German nation, within a generation, the light of the gospel had almost been extinguished. So what's this about? Did Luther have some crazy premonition about this? No! He knew from the Word that there has seldom been a generation who has not grown lazy and bored with the true doctrine of the Word. Moses did great wonders and brought the people out of Egypt, yet that those people too received the grace of God in vain. Moses says in Deuteronomy 31, "Take this book of the law, put it in the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death?" It was true with Moses. The entire book of Judges reveals this. The people cry out to God. God sends them a judge. The judge comes who rescues them, and they follow God's word. The judge dies, and they turn back to their idolatry and immorality. The whole book is that way. There is a reason that God has ministers plead with those who are already converted. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. St. Paul quotes from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 8. "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." What's St. Paul's conclusion? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We don't know how long or when God in His mercy will allow His word to be preached purely and rightly. We don't know when the situation will change, but now it is being preached. Now is the time to hear. God's word in the future may be withdrawn. It may be contaminated by false teachers. We've seen that's what happens throughout history. Now the word is going out. There are opportunities to receive the grace of God. Behold, now is the time to hear the word and to follow it. We have recently seen a situation where the government authorities have sought to shut down the preaching of the word, citing safety and health issues. Forces sought to limit the gathering of God's people to come and to receive the sacrament. And as we come up upon a year since the shutdown, who would have thought that we wouldn't have been able last year to celebrate Holy Week or Easter services? Many still are not meeting. You might say, it's not that big a deal, is it? You can just watch online. We have seen rightly that those avenues are being limited to to only acceptable messages, and in the future they may not be available for the publication of the message of historic Christianity. Now they are, but maybe not. And as helpful as online services are, they are not an adequate replacement for the gathering of God's people around the Word and the sacrament. And furthermore, you may not realize that less than 20% of those who have stayed away from attendance actually do watch the online services. So no, it is a big deal. The window of opportunity is right now to receive God's grace, attend divine services, receive Bible class instruction, listen online if you have to, but receive the grace of God who is working through the pastoral office to strengthen your faith. Pay attention to the Word of God. Get enough sleep so that you can stay awake. Sit in the front pew to remove distractions. Take notes if you have to, but don't receive the grace of God in vain. St. Paul explains that the ministers go to great effort to bring you the Word of God. He says, "We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God." St. Paul gives a list of 10 things which can and do impede the minister, but we push through them all. He lists 11 things after that that are required of the minister in order to do his job. Not an easy task. And finally, he lists 7 conditions which try the minister in his vocation. Perseverance is required. We know what havoc can be unleashed upon a congregation when the minister is unfaithful, either in doctrine or in life. In the past, this congregation, like many others, has experienced both. And therefore, we don't have generations of families attending. We have very few children or grandchildren of those who formerly attended. The church needs faithful ministers who are both moral and orthodox. We need men who will tirelessly preach and teach. And in addition to a good seminary training, they need the gift of the Holy Spirit to discern the truth. The minister who has not drunk deeply of the Scriptures will not be able to offer his hearers the waters of eternal life. The formation and preservation of ministers is not easily accomplished. St. Paul's implication in today's epistle is that if the ministers to go to such great effort to bring you the Word of God and the grace of God, then you should not receive it in vain. As a hearer, you too should go to great effort to retain and to hear the Word of God and do it. In Philippians 3:17, St. Paul says this, "Brethren, join me in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have for us a pattern." St. Paul tells the ministers in 1 Peter 5, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock." Follow my example. We are a pattern. We are to be examples to the flock. St. Paul says, "In all things we commend ourselves to you as the ministers of God." And so I preach this text knowing that I am a fellow sinner, but God has made me a minister. The one whom I preach is the Jesus who is found in today's Holy Gospel reading. I have not defeated the devil, as that liar has also led me into temptation on a daily basis. Though I try to be faithful and am called, you have not come to be strengthened by me or to praise or to worship me. It was our Lord Jesus Christ who was led into the wilderness in order to do battle with the devil. Our forefathers received the grace of God in vain. They were punished with 40 years of wandering in that same wilderness. But Jesus faithfully defeats the devil after 40 days and 40 nights without food, and Jesus has undone the damage. Their neglect of the word of God kept them out of the promised land for 40 years, but Jesus defeats the devil through 40 days and nights and has opened up the gates of paradise for all who believe in him for salvation. Jesus studied the word for 30 years and paid attention. He wasn't just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Jesus wielded the sword of the word of God and parried every attack of the devil. Jesus lived on every word that proceeds from the mouth of his heavenly Father. Through his faithful diligence, Jesus defeated the devil, and he must now go away. Our Lord knew that his heavenly Father was providing for his every need, and that he should not tempt the Lord his God. The devil misquoted Psalm 91. It doesn't just say he shall give his angels charge over you. No, here's what it says. For he shall give his charge over you to keep you in all your ways. The Lord doesn't promise to rescue you if you throw yourself off of the temple. You don't test God by doing foolish things or those that are outside of your vocation, your ways, which he has provided. The Lord provides for you in all your ways. So God has given me the way of the pastor, and I will diligently study the text and preach to you the word of God. I will preach to the lost to be reconciled to God, and I will preach with you to not receive the grace of God in vain. And God has given you the way of the hearer. And thus you diligently hear the word and follow it. Let us confess our sins and believe in Jesus, who defeated the devil for us. And together we will commend ourselves to God, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The offertory on page 143. We stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that your Son, who was led by the Spirit to do battle with the Satan in the desert, that he completely defeated the tempter by his reliance on the Word of God. During this season of Lent, teach us to rely so completely on your Word that giving up on our victories, we may break the cycle of sin. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, give your church the desire to be devoted to your holy word, so that we gladly hear it, and believing in Christ, make a more conscious effort to put aside our sins and love you. Give your servants, especially our Bishop James, our pastors Gary and Michael, the fruits of the Spirit, so that we put no stumbling block in anyone's way, but preach forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for our director, our teachers and staff, those who raise and teach the children at our learning center. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
give wisdom, O Lord, to the leaders of our nation, our President Joe, our Governor J.B., our Mayor Steve, federal and state legislators, county commissioners, city officials, and all our judges. that Satan's schemes to sow discord and hate may be hindered, and that all citizens may live together peaceably. We bring before you our military personnel, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake, as well as our police officers, Alex and Daniel, and others who attend to us in times of emergency, asking that all public servants, you would give them commitment to duty, and in all times of danger, keep them safe. O Lord, you're the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak. Look upon the tribulation and distress of those who are affected by the coronavirus. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. Provide care for those infected. Calm the worries of the timid, so that in their necessities they may observe and receive your manifold help and comfort. For those who are discouraged because of a lack of employment, in your mercy raise up opportunities for businesses and work, that in peace and thanksgiving all people may earn and eat the bread of contentment. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut-in Carolyn, as well as our elderly Violet and Verdell. Provide for the needs of Caitlin, Jade, Kevin, Linda, Rebecca, Victor, Marcia, Tony, Gibb, Shirley, Priscilla, also with Michael Baker, who had a successful surgery for appendicitis in his home recovering. We ask that you would be with Gatlin and an upcoming surgery, that you would comfort the father and the mother. We ask also comfort upon the family of Bethany, who died this past Wednesday of an overdose. We ask, dear Lord, that your word might have his way and that it might defeat all the deception of the devil. Be with our students, with Jonathan, Kirsten, Alexis, Sarah, Benjamin, Jacob, and Ashley. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension. Before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right
so to do. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, you bid your people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast. Renew our zeal in faith and life, and bring us to the fullness of grace that belongs to the children of God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he,
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us.
Because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him. And show him my salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. The Lord shall defend you under his wing, and you shall be safe under his banner. His faithfulness and his truth shall be your shield and buckler.
Thank you.
give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to serve you constantly. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.